Right now, I'm pleased to announce that we have Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, and she's here to talk about weather modification and what's going on in the skies. Rosalind, I thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So why don't you tell us how you got involved in all this and why you started California SkyWatch?
Well, starting in 2002, it came to my attention that our skies were no longer deep blue. They were filled with persistent jet contrails and jets flying in every direction, leaving these great huge plumes. And so in 2002, I knew from just looking at these planes and photographing them and filming them that this was not correct. This was not how our skies should look. And so when I saw the cross hatches, the loops, the X's, when they looped the loop, it just brought me to the conclusion that this was not right. We had to find out what was going on. And so then I have dedicated my time since then to putting up California SkyWatch and also to talking to people across the country and discussing what I have found out from diligent research from myself and from others.
Well, you know, I'm not that, you know, in the light about what chemtrails or contrails, you know, you're calling them contrails. Contrails seem to dissipate. Chemtrails, you know, everybody talks, well, is it weather modification? I've heard people think it's mind control. But all I do know is in the past few years, I've seen plenty of them. And especially where I live in New York, they're up spraying every day. I've seen a couple out in Austin, Texas. But I've literally driven across the country a couple times now, and they're there. And there is no official reason why they're there. And California is one of the few places where there was like a mainline report about chemtrails. I think it was on, not sure if it was out of Los Angeles, but it was a local NBC station. If you type that in, you can watch the YouTube clip. Otherwise, there's been almost a media blackout on the subject.
Yes, and that's correct. There has been a media blackout because when I first started my research, I checked the United States Air Force website almost immediately to find out what was going on. And a lot of people had talked about chemtrails. It was kind of on the web, and I decided that I'd go see what they had to say. And right away, I realized that their website carried a notation that the word chemtrail was a hoax and that there was nothing going on. Everything was normal. And then when I wrote my Senator Dianne Feinstein with regard to these persistent jet contrails and to find out more about what was going on, the response came back from the United States Air Force stating that the word chemtrail was a hoax, everything was fine, and I should just go away. And the same with a letter from Senator Feinstein. So at this point, I had talked to the media, and I found that the media would be interested for about 5 minutes, and then they would either call the Air Force or they call NOAA or NASA, and that these gentlemen would say, well, there's nothing going on, it's all normal, and so therefore they would say, well, the word chemtrail is a hoax, and then that was the end of the discussion. So I have found that by not using the word chemtrail, by talking about the documents, by talking about the research and the studies and different things that I can document, that the credibility goes up when you start talking about what's going on with these persistent jet contrails.
Well, we're going to come back after this, and we're going to find out what you found out. Her site has things on HARP, air pollution, climate change. It's all there. It's CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. We'll be back after this. It's the Alex Jones Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not Alex Jones. I'm Jason Burmes. I'll be filling in for the remainder of the week. You can get at me at myspace.com/Jason Burmes. We're talking to Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, and she was telling us how she was stonewalled almost at every turn when she tried to find out what was going on in the skies. And I'm guessing this is when you started to collect your own data.
This is when I started to go and really do some heavy-duty research and try and find out what was going on, and then take pictures, videotapes of what was going on in the skies with a group of other people who were also interested, and also trying to figure out why everyone was stonewalled on this subject and just told that it was normal. I can tell you from long history here in Mendocino County that very few commercial airlines fly over Mendocino County. And according to FAA records of the flights, they fly straight lines, and they only go across really one segment of the county. And there's very few flights that go into San Francisco Airport or San Jose or Oakland airports that fly over this area. But the jets that leave the persistent contrails fly in every direction, stop-and-go plumes, circling. Sometimes they look like two or three at a time doing a racetrack around our county. You can watch them with binoculars, and sometimes they don't even fly out of sight. They just play tag with on and off, turning the contrails on and off over our skies. Other times we're just hazed over in about 3 hours, or they produce different types of man-made clouds, or we get black contrails, combinations of weird weather patterns that change after they start to hit our skies hard.
So after all this research, you know, everybody always asks me, what are they? What are they? What are they? What do you think the purpose of this campaign is?
I can't answer that question for you because I can only speculate on that answer. However, what I can tell you from my research is that jets are used in a number of different programs. NOAA lists over 50 experimental weather modification programs that are ongoing, which use both air-based and ground-based chemicals. In other words, the U.S. Air Force flies over and drops aluminum-coated fiberglass, which is chaff, over us, which falls to the ground as particulate matter and can have health effects, has been noted, although the Air Force doesn't like to give out their reports. But it has been noted that there's health effects from the particulates, and we're not sure because we can't find the studies for what is happening when the aluminum in this fiberglass particulate comes down to the ground. So we do know that the jets are used in different programs. I cannot tell you from all of my research exactly what the jets are releasing to leave these persistent contrails, but Patrick Minnis of NASA has now admitted that many of these contrails, one contrail, can expand over 4,000 square kilometers and last for more than 20 hours. This was unheard of before about 1988. Thereabout, when people first started noticing them, especially here in Northern California. So Professor Gregory Benford on the program with Paul Moyer in Burbank, California, KNBC News program, which anyone can watch on YouTube, had stated that it was kind of interesting that when Benford was asked about this issue, he said, well, a little bit of barium, a little bit of aluminum, and we can make fluffy white clouds, and we can put them where we want to do what we want, essentially was the context of that. So unless they've experimented, we do know that that's the case at this time, is that something is going on, and it's probably called geoengineering.
Yeah, and let's make it clear, aluminum oxide and barium are not healthy for human consumption.
That is correct.
I mean, these are heavy metals that we're more than likely breathing in as this dissipates and falls to the ground. And it doesn't shock me that they cover such a wide area. I'll literally be outside at around 10 or 11 in the morning out in New York, and you'll see them start their campaign. And then by sundown, you know, around 5:30, the entire, you know, sky is in a haze, and we had blue skies in the morning. I've got to wonder why they're doing this and why they've seemed to up the program. I mean, you used to see it now and then, and people would say, oh, you're kooky, nothing's going on. That's just, you know, fuel from a commercial airliner, or that's just the gas coming out of it. It's nothing, Jason. But now, I literally have people calling it plane foam. You know, they don't know what it is. They don't know what's bad for them. You know, they think everything's all right, but they've given it their own name for it. And the fact of the matter is, this is toxic. This is poisonous. And we don't know what the agenda is. And you've done some of the most extensive work out there. And you don't know, you know, what exactly the agenda is on this. Is there any, is there anybody out there in politics that's interested in this subject that's going to try to tackle it? Anyone in Congress, anyone in the House, anything?
No, because they refer to it as a chemtrail hoax. And as long as the word chemtrail is attached, they don't want to touch the issue. And that's why I've stopped using the word, because they politically don't want to touch something that the Air Force calls a hoax, that NASA, NOAA call a hoax and a part of a conspiracy theory. So thus, they don't want to touch it. But we're making inroads, because we're beginning to show them the state of California water test results from all 58 counties, a CD held by the California State Department of Health, which shows spiking in all over the state of California, sometimes way above state and federal standards, all in the same time, of aluminum, barium, manganese, some of these heavy metals. And we're finding that this exposure is quite broad all over California. And a friend of mine has done extensive research from 1998 in Arizona. Bridget Conroy has also been finding huge spikes in Arizona as well. So we're looking at these water test data and samples from, in other words, not even our own particular data where we went out and took the tests ourselves, but from the state of California and the Arizona. And we find that they're confirming what we've been knowing for a long time, is that there's something going on and we're being exposed to it. But you see, it's not only the exposure in our drinking water systems, it's the exposure to the animals, to the trees, to crops, to all kinds of, it's incredible. The pH in rainwater is beginning to get more acidic. So we're seeing a wide range of things that are happening to the environment. And my concern about persistent jet contrails specifically is that when they cover us over in white haze or man-made clouds, according to NASA, persistent jet contrails make man-made clouds that exacerbate global warming, that these clouds change our climate and can impact negatively natural resources. And when you start to take away direct sunlight, you start to reduce photosynthesis, which is required for all living things to grow. And since my background is agriculture, I've been taking a look at trees and crops. And without direct sunlight, crop production is going to drop severely.
So you think this is maybe even kind of a terraforming program for the Earth, basically stopping our crops, stopping our healthy growth, stopping plants from growing in a certain manner, really just changing the way that everything's produced in this country.
It's going to do that. And when you talk about the jet contrails putting this man-made cloud cover over us, stopping direct sunlight from reaching the Earth, you not only that, you have a impact from increased molds, mildew, health effects like rickets are increasing across the United States in the last few years, and that's lack of vitamin D. And these children are getting brittle bones, not seen since children were forced to work in the coal mines in the early part of our history. So it's beginning to be of great concern, but that means that if children are seeing rickets, that means other animals and plant life are going to be affected as well. So the implication of keeping us in this man-made cloud cover is tremendous.
And I see them pushing this as saving us from global warming. You know, I think they're going to have to say something about this program, and they're going to say, well, you know, we had to put this program out there. It'd be just so hot, and global warming would have done this to us. So we're actually trying to save you. You know, it is very much like 1984, where, you know, truth is lies and black is white and white is black, because first they deny it. You know, nothing's going on. Chemtrails are a hoax. Now we know that, you know, this is going on. There is some sort of program. Now they're going to act like our saviors. I think that's what's next on the agenda.
Well, of course, that's why the global warming drumbeat gets people into hysteria, so they'll do anything to allow our geoengineers, these are people that want to change our atmospheric conditions, to reduce global warming. And so that drumbeat is here, all right. But what happens is that doesn't explain, because when you take away direct sunlight by putting up chemicals and you reduce the amount of direct sunlight hitting the Earth, you see NASA goes right back and says, well, according to their studies, they're trapping warmth in the atmosphere and exacerbating global warming. So if they're doing this for us, what does this mean? I don't think anybody's doing anything for us, because I think that they're experimenting at our expense, is what I think.
I'm with you there. On the other side, we're going to play this NBC News clip, Chemtrails Over California. It's the Alex Jones Show. We have Rosalyn Peterson of CaliforniaSkywatch.com. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be taking your calls, see what you have to ask Rosalyn Peterson of California Skywatch. But before that, I want to play this NBC News clip, one of the few mainstream news clips to actually report on the subject. So let's bring it up.
Mountains has a real mystery on its hands. The official explanation here is that jet contrails are causing strange lines in the sky, and that it's pollen making people sick on the ground. But others are convinced it is something else, and they ask, is the government experimenting with our weather?
There was a huge dust cloud.
Longtime Cedar Glen resident Gretchen Sherman says she has never seen anything like it.
Yes. I think what?
Oh, it covered the entire Cedar Glen area.
A cloud of dust, leaving a sticky yellow slime all over her car. It happened again last February, and calls began pouring into the local Alpenhorn newspaper.
And they had a tremendous upsurge of children that were not going to school at that time.
Pharmacist Ed Burroughs says it is the most mysterious illness he's seen in 22 years on the mountain.
A lot of eye infection problems, upper respiratory problems, nosebleeds.
A nearby March Air Force Base say it didn't come from them. Others said it was a pollen cloud. The Department of Health found a yellowish tint on a tissue submitted for testing. But, quote, there was no sign of any biological form, such as cedar pollen, and the test was ruled inconclusive. And it wasn't long before things ballooned into a sky-high mystery.
The story is not just here in Crestline in the alleged yellow cloud. People say the government is up there in airplanes spraying all kinds of chemicals to change or manipulate the weather, leaving what you see there, and they call that a chemtrail.
So what I look up there and I think are contrails, you're telling me are chemtrails.
Yes, that a contrail would be dissipated by now.
It would.
Yes, it would.
Chemtrails. On the internet, they are cited as proof of the government creating clouds to combat global warming. In response, the Air Force says that, quote, there is no such thing as a chemtrail. The actual contrails are a safe and natural phenomenon. And that people are seeing more contrails simply because there are more jets forming large clouds, depending on weather conditions. As in this video of alleged chemtrails shot near San Francisco.
I think these are contrails.
Professor Gregory Benford of UC Irvine works with the Department of Energy on weather research.
That's very odd. They could be very large contrails.
He says the DOE doesn't know of any jets spraying chemicals to affect the weather. However, he says, we will probably see it in the near future.
You've got to, in a sense, engineer all these so you get the right kind of clouds for the effects we want.
It is called geoengineering, fighting global warming by putting a chemical dust in the atmosphere and reflecting harmful radiation back into space.
You could use barium oxide, for example, which makes big fluffy clouds. You could use tiny little bits of aluminum, which is benign in the environment, and essentially manage the climate.
And what I found was unusual spiking since the early 1990s in barium, aluminum.
But Roslyn Peterson of California Skywatch says health department records show a sharp increase in both chemicals in the water supply of Northern California, dating from the time the huge contrails first appeared over her home in Mendocino County.
What's the significance of the barium and the aluminum?
I went and got all the tests, and all these things in the same test would be up. Way over state and federal standards. It had to be airborne, because how could it get to such diverse regions of our county? We have jets going in every direction. X's, east, west, north, south, circles. There is something going on in the air. I don't know exactly what, but I think there's some experimentation.
Is it legal?
I don't know, because we haven't had a public discussion.
But what is unknown today may be actual fact tomorrow, thanks to a bill soon to be voted on in the U.S. Senate, a Weather Modification Act, calling for research in, quote, attempting to change or control by artificial methods the natural development of atmospheric cloud forms.
Doesn't it seem to you that they're going to be doing it in the future for sure?
Yes. And if they are, I want to know about it.
In the meantime, a lot of people are wondering if they'll ever get clear skies and a clear answer.
The legislation is there. Therefore, somebody's thinking about this. How does this make sense?
I don't know. Maybe they're practicing.
Over Cedar Glen. over Arrowhead.
Okay. I guess you have to try it out before you use it. I'm not sure.
Well, you...
All right, we're going to be back with Rosalind Peterson that was in this news clip. Again, they just do it, and then they announce they're going to do it later, but it's already in place. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com.
We're qualified.
All right, folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis sitting in. We're with Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. And I've seen just such a promotion of these chemtrails, contrails, whatever you want to talk, even in little kids programming. There was a film that came out, animated film that came out a couple of years ago called Over the Hedge. And these things are all over the place. I mean, they're literally being put up in the background. There's one scene where the animals are shot all the way up in the air, and you can see the chemtrails behind them. It really feels like we're being prepped for something bigger. I'm just wondering, what can the average person do, Rosalind, to get this information out, to try to get the truth about what these things are?
Well, first of all, it comes down to a bit of education and looking at some of the documents that are online, and there are a lot of them, and beginning to bring these issues about their concerns to their elected officials. And I think that the more pressure we put on our elected officials, the more we go to meetings, the more we look at our water test results in different states and begin to complain about them being way over state and federal standards, I think that the more we take the tests, and I think that local action is absolutely necessary at the ground level to get the attention. And we have to get the media to take a look and not just be bulldozed over by the Air Force, who says it's a hoax, but to really get them to do some independent research and really look up. And I think that they don't look up. I think that they want to take someone's word for it sometimes.
I think they want to put their heads in the sand. But we have some callers that are on topic on the chemtrail issue. Let's go to Ron in Texas. Ron, are you with us?
Hey, Jason, appreciate you taking my call. I just want to bring up one real obvious point, being a professional pilot.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some government spew out about the fact that they even added something to the fuel that would cause it to burn more efficiently, et cetera, and it was part of the cause of leaving these trails. Well, there's a very obvious thing in aviation that everybody seems to miss on this point, and that's that aviation does not want clouded skies. The clearer the skies are, the better it is for aviation. When they put this stuff up there, it's actually endangering the safety of aviation. And I'll let it go from there and talk at you later.
All right. Thanks for the call. What do you think, Rosalind? Do you think this does hurt, people who are trying to fly planes?
Yes, I do. And I also think that not only does it cut down on visibility, but when I flew back last year to the United Nations to speak there on this subject as an invited guest for the climate change conference, what I found was going over that we couldn't see the ground. It was always covered with white haze, jet contrails. It was just fascinating to look out the window and realize that we couldn't see the ground except in a haze. It wasn't clear anywhere. And this was all the way across the United States from San Francisco, clear to New York City. And what we were seeing was something that I never saw when I was flying in the 1970s back east from California. It used to be beautiful, sparkling. You could look down, you could see the ground, and it was just clear. And now that's not the case. Plus the fact that we're getting all these particulates and different things going on. I also wish to state that there has been some question about something being put into the jet fuel itself, but aluminum could wreck, in the fuel could wreck a jet engine. So I don't believe that they're actually putting it in the jet fuel itself, and I've never thought that. I think that they could have additives afterwards, or there is what they call one of these MASS, M-A-S-S, and the U.S. Air Force C-130 Modular Aerial Spray System. And this spray system is designed to perform aerial applications for chemicals. And it's the module loads and mixes, and it has attachments that can be attached to these C-130s so that they can do spraying operations. And this was on a U.S. Air Force website. And they have ultra-low volume wing booms for applications. They have low volume, and then they have high volume, where they can really put out a lot of chemical. And so they talk about this MASS system, and it's, if anyone wants to do a little research, they can go to the Lockheed Conair. This is who built the system. And what it does is it allows for chemicals to be sprayed by these huge Air Force jets.
Well, Lockheed Martin could only have our best interests at heart. I mean, Lockheed Martin's such a good, you know, corporation. I mean, I'm sure that they're doing it for our own good.
Well, I think that Lockheed Martin got paid to do it. In other words, they were contracted by the U.S. government, and that's how all of these things get built.
Sure. I mean, it's plausible deniability on one end, and they just use one of their military-industrial complex companies to actually do the dirty work. So if anything ever comes out, they can say, oh, well, we didn't really know it was going to be poison. We thought it was all going to be positive, and they'll shift the blame to them. Let's take another caller on topic. Let's go to Kathy in Canada. Kathy, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Rosalind, you're doing a great job here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a topic, but I guess I have to. I've spent the last 4 years researching the effects of heavy metals when we get them into our bodies, and especially
yes.
into, like, our animals. And I met a gentleman a few years back, and his name was Mark Purdy from England, and he's passed away now from a brain tumor. But what he discovered was that with the BSE, mad cow disease, and chronic wasting diseases, these animals have been exposed to these metals. And it's very similar. He's got 14 peer-reviewed studies, and he discusses how they've been exposed to barium, strontium, cesium, manganese, and all these various things. And their diet was deficient in the necessary trace minerals like copper and zinc and selenium. And what I'm very concerned about is I think his work is magnificent, and he has a website, www.markpurdy.com, and he also has a book that was published last year called Animal Farm. Farm is spelled P-H-A-R-M, and I encourage people to read it. The science that he was projecting out there is very much involved with things like viruses as well, because viruses are not living. Viruses are DNA and RNA, which is nucleated on a metal particle. Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah, and like the more I look into viruses, I realize that the effect of proteins by metals is what's causing them to misfold. And when certain metals attach to these proteins, it's a reversible folding. But when these metals like barium and lead and uranium, like depleted uranium, something I'm heavily into, are involved, they're causing proteins that attach to them to become unable to reverse and fall off of them. And so I do wonder if the spraying of these chemicals, I mean, I know it's probably involved with HARP. It's probably involved with many forms of radar systems to try and allow them to work more efficiently, weather control. But I see these same metal particles being used by the vaccine companies. Gardasil, for example, has huge amounts of aluminum in it. The hepatitis B has mercury, I'm told, in it.
Thimerosal, yep.
Yeah, and we're seeing how in Alberta here, where I'm from, our government just announced that they're going to pay for the Gardasil vaccine. They're injecting this aluminum into your body, and they say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to give it at the same time as the hepatitis shot, which is a mercury shot.
Well, they always say that these are negligible amounts, but obviously it's poison. I thank you for the call.
Right.
They always say, you know, it's for your own good, it's negligible, it's not going to have an effect, but we all know that heavy metals aren't good for the body, and you do have a section on your website about HARP. For those who don't know what HARP is, Why don't you give a little overview, Rosalind?
HAARP is located in Alaska, and it's an Air Force Navy project originally. The Navy is heavily involved in this program, and what it does is it's involved with a group of these what they call super heaters, and they can heat the atmosphere above us to extremely high temperatures. And they use it as an experimental project, but there is some evidence that they can use it for weather modification as well. My concern is that they're using it to do atmospheric experiments, and some of them NASA is doing at this time. And what they do is they send these canisters loaded with aluminum and barium, strontium, lithium, SF6, sulfur, sulfur fluoride. There's a whole group of chemicals that are highly toxic, and what they do is they send them up in these canisters either on the space shuttle or they send them up on rockets. And when they get these canisters up at certain locations in the ionosphere or at different levels in the atmosphere, they superheat them. And sometimes they're using the HAARP methodology to actually heat these containers. The U.S. Air Force is quite specific, and NASA is quite specific in some of their descriptions. But also, these chemical reactions can have harmful effects on our ionosphere above us and on the cocoon that protects us from UV radiation and other things. And I believe from the testing results I've seen in California and water test results that some of these chemicals are coming down and landing in our drinking water supplies. So if they're finding them in California drinking water supply tests, that means that they're getting into lakes, rivers, streams, wells, everywhere. And when you see these huge spikes all across California and in other states, you begin to understand the implication that the chemicals that are going up are coming down, and they're having human health effects. And see, one issue that was just brought up was that if you filter your drinking water so heavily, you can take out beneficial nutrients. And this is another cause for concern, is if you purify the water too much. However, on the other hand, I don't think that some water treatment systems will take out these harmful chemicals. And in addition, many water sources that where the water goes to agriculture are not treated at all. They go in as raw water from lakes, rivers, streams, and they go onto agricultural land. So what you're seeing is that plants, trees, animals, birds, your produce are all going to pick these up because there's no way to protect yourself from these air-based chemicals.
Very interesting stuff. Let's jump to another caller. Let's go to Rob in Toronto. Rob, are you with us?
I am. Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
I just noticed this article on the Prison Planet Forum actually yesterday, and it's basically an admission by the Russian Air Force that they're seeding clouds here.
Let me go over that article because someone sent me that. Basically, what happened is a bag of cement got loose in the bag while they were seeding the clouds, and it crushed the roof of some guy's home. So they had to admit that they were actually seeding clouds out in Russia, correct?
Right, right. It says, you know, seeding clouds to prevent rain from spoiling a holiday, Russian media said on Tuesday. Like, if they can prevent rain from spoiling a holiday, can they not prevent rain from feeding the crops? And this is major implications.
Sure, but Alex has had Dennis Cuddy on the program a couple of years ago, and he was one of the fathers of weather warfare, and he was talking about this type of thing that they were using in Vietnam to create, you know, rain in dense areas where the Vietnamese were, you know, using it as a warfare tool. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there is absolutely no doubt that there is documented cases of weather modification. What do you think, Rosalind?
Oh, U.S. history is loaded with weather modification programs and experiments going back to the 1940s. And I think by the time of the Vietnam War, they had perfected weather modification and used it over the Ho Chi Minh Trail for many years successfully in Vietnam. And then since that time, there is no doubt that they've had hurricane control programs. If you type in history of weather modification, you will just come up with an enormous amount of programs, some successful, some highly unsuccessful. And even NASA admits today, and NOAA admits, that there's over 50 to 100 weather modification programs ongoing around the world with other countries like China experimenting. So we know that weather modification is working, even though there's claims that it doesn't, because in 2005, Wyoming put more snow in the Wyoming mountains than ever before in recorded history from their weather modification program, and they did that in order to give Southern California more water. But it backfired, and the snow melted too fast, and they got some flooding. But that program subsequently, since that time, every year has put surrounding counties in Wyoming in drought conditions and has put Colorado, I believe, due to the size of the number of square miles involved in the program, into drought conditions. So what happens is that, for example, this year, according to NOAA's programs, I think I sent you a list of those, but there was one that was modifying 184,000 square miles. Well, if you put water or snow in one location, you're going to subtract it from where it would go normally, disrupting agricultural microclimates, putting some parts of the country like Oklahoma in drought. And then you could flood out other areas that weren't supposed to get so much rain. No one, with all these weather problems ongoing across the United States, is taking a look at if they're still conducting their weather modification programs while people are engaged in fighting off too much rain. So modifying the weather can have very adverse effects. And no one is looking. See, right now, I can pay someone, a weather modification company, to go and say, I want to modify the weather over New York City, for example. And I can hire a company, and they'll go in, and they'll do what I want. They can dissipate fog. They can make it rain. They could make it snow, anything I want, as long as I have the money to pay them. And here's the clinker. Not one government agency has oversight over what I'm doing. I don't have to notify the public, and there's nothing I have to do. I can just go and pay to have it done. So universities can do studies and experiments, private companies. The Dynamat Corporation right now is Cordani is the owner, and he's outfitted a plane, and he's out pouring one of the chemicals that he that's toxic, by the way, that he that is used by his company to mop up spills. If a chemical liquid spills on the ground, you put this chemical powder on it, and it absorbs it. He's modifying our weather.
Yeah, it's amazing that this is in private hands, and they can do anything they'd like with it. We have Rosalind Peterson of California Skywatch on the program. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis. And we have Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkywatch.com on with us, really schooling us in weather modification all throughout the board. I've got a ton of phone calls for her, so we're going to try to shoot with them. Please, you know, have a question or a comment for her. Let's go to Fred in Philly. Fred, are you there?
Can you give me a list of just the names of the of the best experts on it, and also go through the compounds that are being sprayed. And I just want to also say that when you contacted your senator and you put that request for information, that is essentially the problem, is that we're allowing ourselves to be lied to, for them to treat you like a child. In those letters is just atrocious. So can you give me who are the best authors? Cliff Carnicon, some of the other people that have been on this show.
All right, let's ask her. Rosalind, who do you think the best authors are on this subject?
Well, there's a number of them, but that have written books on the subject. And if you go, if you just Google a link for books on the subject, they will come right up for you. What I would say is some good websites to go look at are ArizonaSkyWatch.com. Bridget Conroy has been researching this since 1999, and she's especially interested in the health effects for families and children and what's going on with our skies, and is a dedicated researcher on this subject, and she would be very helpful. My website contains a lot of information. There's a lot of books on weather warfare that talk about, in other words, different types of programs. But I would say your government documents are a good place to start because there's so much information online. And I can say that the going to put up a new website. It's not up yet, but it's going to be called the Agricultural Defense Coalition. And this is going to contain approximately 8,000 documents. All my database is right now being put on this website, and I'm hoping to have it up before the end of the month for sure. And so it's a monumental project to put everything I have. But there's a lot of documents right now on California Skywatch and on ArizonaSkyWatch.com. So I encourage you all to do the research and check in and look at these websites from the government, NOAA, NASA. Lots of programs there that they talk about, and this would be a good research item.
And then,
so I would,
Rosalind,
he
was
there.
Also asking for the compounds that are in this stuff. Can you give a short list of what's in these things?
Okay. I can't guarantee what's in any persistent jet contrail at any time, because I think that they're running various programs. So I know that aluminum-coated fiberglass chaff is used by the Air Force. I know that there's a variety of weather modification chemicals that they're using in atmospheric programs. I can tell you that the canisters that are sent up by NASA contain barium, aluminum, strontium, manganese, magnesium, calcium, lithium.
Qualified.
Now we have Rosalind Peterson with us for this final area, or a final hour, on PrisonPlanet.tv. And she was just listing off some compounds. Again, not in every comtrail or chemtrail, but what's been found in them. And we have just a ton more callers, so let's just shoot through them. Let's get through their questions. Let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, are you there? Are you with us, Chris? Oh, we lose him? All right, let's try Chris in Iowa then. Chris, you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Let me get off my speakerphone.
All right. All right, what's your question, Chris?
Well, I wanted to talk about using the contrails term to describe these.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should be more like, more called aerosolized particle scattering. Because if you go and Google that, I know Jones can never remember that when he's on the air.
Uh-huh.
And there's a semi-direct, indirect, and direct entire campaigns on it. That I found like one time I found like 5,000 separate either websites or college studies, people writing whole paperwork, whole dissertations on doing this. And I just found another one just while I was waiting by the Aerospace Corporation. I found a whole, like a big presentation on all the stuff they've been doing, the particle size, the effective variance, aerosol, single scattering. Saying it doesn't exist is like saying the sun doesn't come up.
Well, I mean, again, they just say it doesn't exist, even though it's clear in the skies, and you would call it aerosolized particle matter.
Particle scattering.
Particle scatter.
Yeah, there's actually classes in like 20 or 30 different colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on
well,
it.
let's get her opinion on it. She's the expert. What do you think of that term, Rosalind?
It's just hard to remember, I think, but I think that a lot of websites are beginning to talk about different things, and you can Google different items on the internet and come up with documents and studies on those things. And I do believe that we are engaged full-time in this process because the jets hardly ever leave our skies alone so that we get deep blue skies. So, and I don't believe that commercial airlines are as engaged in this process as everyone wants to think or our government wants us to think, because they can't afford to do the loops in the loop. They can't afford to go off in all directions because they have to be on a schedule. They fly straight lines. They're trying to conserve fuel. They're cutting back. And so I can't believe that airlines have the money to do the loop the loop and go through keeping planes up, doing all the things that we see in the skies these days. So I'm in total agreement.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I read something? I'm getting a lot of emails, and would you tell everyone that emails me that I will respond back to them personally? But I got an email from Mike. He's in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said to say, Texas, he said, Corpus Christi, Texas, our sky is full of persistent lingering contrails. He says, anyone with half a brain can see the effects of this spraying. No rainfall, no crops, no food. We then become dependent on foreign aid that can't be good for the people of the United States. He says, thanks for taking the time to read my email. So I will respond back to the people that emailed to me. I just wanted to let you know.
Excellent, excellent, because our listeners will engage you. Let me tell you, I got tons of emails now that I say I take them too. And, oh, man, there's so many of them. But a lot of these callers bring up great points. And that's why that's why we're going to go to John in Ohio and Kyle in Iowa after the break. It's the Alex Jones Show. We have Rosalyn Peterson of CaliforniaSkyWatch.com. And I just want to remind everybody that if you missed any of the previous 3 hours, it's all going to be replayed at Infowars.com at the bottom of the hour. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Is Central Texas Command Center deep behind enemy lines? The information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, it's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis subbing in. You can get at me at myspace.com/Jason Burmis. Check out our website, loosechange911.com, or you can go to InfoWars and Prison Planet, and there's links to a lot of my stuff over there. Alex will be back on Sunday, and we're talking to Rosalyn Peterson, really the foremost authority on weather modification concerning chemtrails, comtrails, whatever you want to call them. Obviously, the military is denying the existence of chemtrails, so she has stayed away from that term. But we're going to jump to another caller. Let's see what John in Ohio has to say about the matter.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what's up, John?
Well, I'd like to look at it from another standpoint.
Sure.
I'm a ham operator. And when the aluminum-coated fiberglass is dropped, it just tears the bands up. Now, I've spoke to Art Bell about this on the radio, or on the ham,
mm-hmm.
and he agrees with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other point is when some of the aircraft are coming in that are too heavy to land and they're dumping their fuel,
mm-hmm.
they say it evaporates before it hits the ground. Well, if it's a kerosene base, which is extremely oily, that's a little hard to believe.
All right, let's get Rosalind's opinion on those two things. Rosalind?
Yes, jets do at times dump their jet fuel before they land, and people have been had the fuel dumped on them. So I've seen reports of this. So I don't know if they evaporate. I would agree with that. I also know that aluminum-coated fiberglass or chaff does disrupt radar. It makes it so that it's unworkable at times. And so, but the military can look at the chaff that's dropped, and they can follow weather systems using chaff as it moves across the United States. So they can use it for military purposes, disrupting radar, and they can also follow weather systems. And NASA and NOAA have both admitted that, and also the Weather Channel has mentioned it a couple of times.
Yeah, and you actually were part of this big Discovery Channel, Chemical Contrails, which aired in February of 2007, really one of the only mainline shows to do this. And it was an hour-long special?
Yes, it was.
And does this still air every once in a while, or is it something that somebody's going to have to find on Google Video, or might they by chance?
It airs every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
However, they did a bait and switch on me. They were supposed to have tested the actual jet plume in Canada, because they came here from Canada to interview me, and they told me that they were going to actually look at the jet plume, and they had the money, and they were going to send up the testing of the plume to see what was in it. Later, they bait and switched and test jet fuel instead, and so there was a little bit of a twist in there that they said that we wanted the jet fuel tested, which I never requested in my entire life. And also, they turned some of the people into the experts from NASA and NOAA and weather modification companies, and then tagged all of us who wanted to talk about the persistent jet contrails as chemtrail believers. So the narration in there is has some things that they say about what I said and others said that isn't true. So I want everyone to know that it's a program to watch, because they do give you a lot of statistics in that about what's happening in our skies. They do tell you about persistent jet contrails, and they also tell you that weather modification companies think that this water vapor going across our skies is just for theirs, for the taking, to move it from one place to another. But I think that weather modification programs are engaged in theft of my microclimates needed for agriculture to grow properly and sustain itself. And also it's theft because I want the rainfall that would normally go to us and not have it taken and put us in a drought and taken for some other purpose. So that's my statement on that program.
Well, you know, the mainstream media is always going to try to marginalize us and make us out to be the kooks and try to promote the authorities, such as the people at NASA and within our military and government, because that's what they do. They're just worshipers. They're really never after the truth. It's very annoying. All right, let's go go ahead.
One thing I'd like to say about NASA. NASA instituted a children's school program going all the way from kindergarten to the 12th grade, starting in the late 1980s. And they started to talk about persistent jet contrails. They started to teach children that it was normal. They started to have children go through school count-a-thons to look up in the skies and to count the contrails. And they even said that they couldn't see them from the ground, and because NASA couldn't see them from satellites, that they needed children, the expertise of children, to count these contrails. But we know that from 1994 to 1995, the U.S. military 24/7 counted contrails at one military airbase. So I think that we're undergoing a systematic in other words, education system to get us to believe that all this is normal, always was here from the earliest history. However, jet engines haven't been here that long, and these type of persistent contrails that covered one, where one could cover 4,000 square miles, is just not possible in early history, because we didn't even have the type of airplanes.
Yeah, well, so, I see them always training us. I mean, I remember when I was in school, it was all about global warming and, you know, the Earth was going to die, and it was going to be 20 degrees hotter, and life on Earth was going to change. And now it's all about a carbon tax, where they actually want to tax us for living. They want to tax you based on how much garbage you produce, how much fuel you use, how many cars you have. And I don't know if you went to planetslayer.com. It was affiliated with ABC News. But they had this little thing where you typed in your information, and it would tell you when you were supposed to die according to your carbon credits. And they had two pigs on the side, and the human being was in the middle. And literally, it came up to, like, you know, you're supposed to be dead by the time you're 14 to 16 months old because you've used up all of your carbon. It seems like a brainwashing program.
It is. And you should read the Climate Security Act put out by Senator Lieberman and the one by Senator Boxer. U.S. Senate Bill 2191 is Lieberman's bill. And U.S. Senate Bill 3036 is Senator Boxer's bill. It's a Climate Security Act. But what they want to do is they want to charge all of us extra money as a carbon tax, and then they want to institute a private corporation that's going to buy and sell. It's called the Climate Credit Corporation. What it's going to do is buy and sell credits so that these bogus credits that polluters can buy so that they can keep polluting. And they're going to have it's an international market scheme, and it's a private corporation. The bill itself really has nothing to do with global warming or climate, helping the climate or anything. It's about giving away our taxpayer dollars and instituting new taxes on us just so that they can have this private corporation buy and sell credits on the market.
I got to agree with you.
It's an amazing bill.
Yeah, it's a form of control against the people to further tax them and further incur on their daily lives. Let's go to Kyle in Iowa. Kyle, what's on your mind?
How's it going, Burmese?
Good, man.
Well, as you probably know, we've had all kinds of crazy weather here in Iowa lately, and me being an Alex Jones listener, I'm very observant as to my surroundings. I first want to start the story off with the fact that we just had a large immigration raid here, and FEMA just happened to be sticking around after that. Now, right after that FEMA raid for the immigration, I had started noticing comtrails, chemtrails, whatever you want to call them, in the sky, like crazy. The patterns I've noticed have been grids, like square-shaped grids, diamond grids, and patterns where they kind of, where it looks like they fan out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since that immigration raid, we've had an F5 tornado come through here, and it leveled two towns that kind of within 20 miles of where I'm at. And then we had this record flooding, just like boom, one right after another. And like for the flooding, it was crazy because weather would just pop out of nowhere, it seemed like, on the radar, and it would just continually just hit our river basin, square in the nose, just right on the target, just boom, 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 boom. So, there's tons of martial law things that have been happening around here. I really wonder if this isn't, with the FEMA raid and the chemtrails, I really wonder if this isn't just a part of I know this is speculatory, but I wonder if it's part of a larger operation, and they all kind of tie into one another.
Well, I would say it's almost,
I
would say it is a multifaceted thing. I mean, we just talked about a carbon tax along with this whole thing. Don't you think there are many parts to this puzzle, Rosalind?
Oh, I think there's a lot of parts to this puzzle. I agree with you. And one of the things I want to say is these experimental weather modification programs, that the list is public record and it's listed by NOAA out of Colorado. And I can tell you from looking at that list that it wouldn't surprise me a bit if your weather is being modified on purpose. Because I think these programs, even every year and ongoing, and where their capacity to disrupt more and more 1,000 square miles, I think that it certainly could have a cataclysmic effect. And also, everywhere, people are talking about seeing more jets leaving these persistent contrails and weird cloud formations just prior to storm systems coming in. Sometimes I think they dissipate the systems, and other times I think that you do get a lot of excess rain from them. And I think that this is worth questioning what these jets are doing and what's going on.
Absolutely. And we need to keep pressing for the truth. It's the Alex Jones Show. PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com are the websites. We're going to continue to take your calls with Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkywatch.com. All right, folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmese. I'll be in all week. We are with Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkywatch.com, and we're talking chemtrails, weather modification, contrails. We're talking it all. If you missed any of it, you can check it out over at Infowars.com at the bottom of the hour. We'll be replaying all 4 hours of the show, and I want to let everybody know that Alex Jones's latest film, 9/11 Truth Rising, 9/11 Chronicles Truth Rising, is a blockbuster. I've seen it a couple times now. We sent it off to the DVD makers the other day, sent off the cover, the whole nine. It's going to be available to PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers on the 4th of July. And really, this movie's unlike anything you've seen from Alex Jones, with confrontations like the one with Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama gets asked some tough questions. I mean, nobody's safe in this movie. Michael Bloomberg and others, members of the media, Alan Greenspan, And then we got some interviews with the good guys, with people like Martin Sheen, with people like Rosie O'Donnell, with people like Jesse Ventura, and many, many more. So I encourage you all to get out there, get this, and make copies and spread it amongst other people to let people know this is a movement. You know, this is a patriot movement. We do have great power. We can each make great change in our society if we decide to. And I think Rosalind Peterson is one of those people. And she's picked an issue, and she keeps pressing on to try to put this out to as many people as possible, because this truly does affect everyone in this country. I mean, this is going on, you know, countrywide, probably worldwide. But we know what's going on here. We know it's not healthy for us. And we know that they're denying it any significance whatsoever. And they're going to come out and say, and they already have in some sense, that it's good. It's to protect us from global warming. Be quiet. So that being said, let's take some more calls. Let's shoot to John in Utah, I think, is next up. What's up, John?
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, Rosalind. Thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
I have a little bit more of a nightmarish scenario considering all this. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of John Kanzius. He is a man who has developed what looks like it may be a cure for cancer using nanoparticles with radio waves.
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, it's been done. He actually discovered it in his garage a couple years ago. If you look him up on, just look up Kanzius and Google him. He's out there, and he's got millions of dollars coming in. But the point is, he took tiny particles of metal and injected it into animals.
They've I do know who you're talking about. This is the same guy who saltwater burns, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. This guy is actually pretty amazing. And through radio frequencies, that's how he got into it. Basically, he was trying to find a cure for cancer. He got all this funding. And then he actually found a frequency in which saltwater would burn and create energy. Now, admittedly, the energy to put into the frequency is more than that comes off of the saltwater, so it's not zero-point energy. But it does show that water can be converted into fuel, and I believe he even modified his car, right?
Well, the most interesting thing he did, I mean, that was like an accidental discovery, the fact that he could set the saltwater on fire, you know, left scientists scratching their heads.
Yeah.
But what he did was, and now the University of Texas over the last few months has done this with lab animals. They've actually put the nanoparticles, I think, with gold attached to these nanoparticles. The nanoparticles went into the bodies of the animals, targeted their cancer. Then they hit the animal with a certain radio frequency, and it killed the cancer. It slowly heats up the nanoparticles and destroyed the cancer.
So what do you think, that they're putting these nanoparticles out there to give us cancer and other diseases? They're going to
shoot us with
the frequency?
Not give us cancer. I mean, think about it. You know, I started thinking, well, if I was some New World Order Nazi, what kind of a plan would I want to come up with? And I think the weather modification and other things are just distractions, because how wonderful it would be to have nanoparticles. Everybody breathes them in. Say they target the brain. And you just had on your website, you had a story where they used a radio frequency machine on fake protesters. Well, if you could heat those nanoparticles up and they're in our brains, instant aneurysm. You're
and
dead.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to point out that the article that we did post, and I thank you for the call, is the sound weapons, and they are openly testing them. You can check them out, and they have volunteers and even people from the military, and basically what they do is they stand them up in a row, and then they have this huge dish that's on the top of one of their vehicles, and they just shoot it forward, and people just, I guess it makes them feel like their body's on fire or something. It's pretty crazy stuff, but we've been reporting on these types of sound weapons now before the RNC in 2004. So we're going to take more of your callers, hopefully on topic, with Rosalind Peterson of CaliforniaSkywatch.com. It's the Alex Jones Show. We'll be back after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
We're on the qualify.
All right, folks. We're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be back on Sunday. He'll be checking in with us tomorrow, much as he did today. Remember, the refeed, Infowars.com, after it's all over in 27 minutes. Let's jump to one more phone call for Rosalind. Pete in Texas, what's on your mind, my man?
I just wanted to share one of an interesting coincidence related to the weather, and that is when the recent cyclone hit Myanmar, I was listening to one of the mainstream news programs, Charles Gibson it might have been, and he reported that the Navy was doing an operation. It was actually a cyclone rescue operation off the coast of Myanmar on the very day that the cyclone hit.
Well, let me say this. All right. Rebuilding America's Defenses, the Project for a New American Century's document that talks about the new Pearl Harbor before 9/11, all that other stuff. Well, they also talk about how the wars of the future aren't going to be fought on the battlefield, that they're actually going to be fought through biological warfare and weather weapons, and they're going to create earthquakes and all this other stuff. There's tons of documentation on it.
There were aircraft carriers loaded with helicopters and all kinds of rescue equipment ready to go ashore.
Well, it's definitely suspicious, man. I just don't like to jump to conclusions, especially with the weather mod stuff, with so much of it still being classified and so much of it still being denied and so much of it still being sketchy. Does it deserve to be looked into? You bet. I thank you for the call, Pete. Rosalind, what do you think about this sort of stuff? You know, I get this a lot. I mean, people tell me that Katrina was engineered, you know, that the tsunami in Thailand was engineered, and now we have this big earthquake out in Panama. I mean, it's always a possibility, but there really isn't too much evidence to say that, is there?
No, I don't think that there's too much evidence. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of people that make claims. I have yet to see any government documents that specifically state that some of this is engineered. I do know that the United States government, however, engineered a hurricane to hit at a certain place, and it backfired. And then they, in other words, the hurricane came inland and killed some people. And what they did in the United States was to classify it so they wouldn't have to pay any damages. So we do know that... hurricanes right now are being modified by the Dynamat Corporation and NASA and a couple of universities who are doing some research. So we do know that they're trying to shift them. And an MIT professor on one of the Discovery Channel programs was talking about using black contrails, and they showed the jets with this black contrails leaving them on the West Coast. And then having weather systems, them causing weather systems to move across the United States. And these weather systems would get larger and larger as they moved. And Professor Emanuel at that point said that they could have these systems go across the United States to try to go off the East Coast to divert hurricanes away from certain areas along the East Coast. So we don't know if they're actually implementing these, but the speculation here that they can do it and they think it will work from their models only means it's a matter of time before they put their models into action. But I suspect that if they're doing something like that, that could be one of the reasons we haven't seen hurricanes in a while in the United States. And also, I think that it could change weather systems and put states like Alabama and Oklahoma and other states into drought conditions and put too much rain somewhere else. So if we're deciding that we can put up carbon black, and we've seen the black contrails here in California, if they're putting that up to secure weather systems, then they could change the weather that way. So there's a lot of models and a lot of discussion about wanting to do said experiments. But whether they've implemented them or not, I'm not sure.
Well, Rosalind, the website is CaliforniaSkyWatch.com, and I've got a ton of calls off topic. So in closing, you know, where can people get the best information, and what can people do about this?
Well, I think that looking at government documents is where they can find their best information, and I think when they want to do something locally, it's really important that they take their water samples, that they take their documents, government documents and studies. And I think that they have to go to their water districts and make sure that they get the test results that are required by the EPA for aluminum and barium, and where they'll show they'll be over state and federal standards. They need to get those, and they need to start educating their local officials who really don't know anything about this topic. And they don't beat them up, but educate their staff, educate different people, and begin to really speak out about the impacts that these jets are having on human health, are having on agriculture and our climate. There's a lot of experiments, and if we once start getting breaking through the barrier, we can make a change, and we need all of your help to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us. She's Rosalind Peterson. The website is CaliforniaSkywatch.com. I'm so glad we had her on because I just don't know that much about chemtrails, and it doesn't seem like there's too much public info out there, but her website's got a ton of great stuff.